we end today in the nation's capital, where reports are Senate Democrats have reached an agreement with the White House to tighten restrictions on who will be eligible for the stimulus checks that are part of the $1.9 trillion COVID relief package. Democrats are hoping to pass the legislation and send it to President Biden by the end of next week, when current additional unemployment aid is set to expire. Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey joins us on the line from Washington. Senator Markey, welcome back to Radio Boston.
No, great to be back with you again. Thank you.
Great to have you. I do want to start with the COVID relief bill. Are you feeling confident that you're going to be able to get some form of the bill passed over this next week?
I do. I'm not sure how much Republican support we're going to have for it, but I do think that the Democrats are going to coalesce and that we will be able to pass a package that matches the magnitude of the problems which our country is confronted with right now. We need the unemployment checks now. We need the checks to individuals now. We need the funding for the schools. We need the funding for our cities and towns. We need the funding to ensure that all aspects of our country get the help they need so that when everyone is vaccinated, they've been able to make it through without devastating impacts to their families or to the businesses in our country.
Senator Markey, you know, I noticed in the NPR headline today, Democrats have reached an agreement with the White House. You just said, not sure if you'll have Republican support, but the Democrats will coalesce. But it is something to be saying that even at this point, there's negotiation going on inside the Democratic Party about a bill this important. I do wonder what that signals for other progressive agenda items down the road, like climate and will come, the minimum wage, which we'll come to in a minute. Can the Dems within that party get this stuff done over this next term?
Well, I think that Democrats won in November because we promised to deliver relief to the American people. In my opinion, this is an unfair trade-off. So I hope we can work to increase the amount to Americans who get tangible relief. I think that's a better place to be. But ultimately, yeah, we have to take the bold and necessary steps to help our country recover from the compounding crises which we face, from the coronavirus pandemic to our economic recession to the climate crisis. We don't have time for half measures. We have to be aggressive in an infrastructure.
Senator Markey, when you say you hope to see the increase the amount, are you there, just to be clear, are you referring to the $1,400 for families? Is that what you mean when you say
that's
increase
correct.
The amount?
That is correct, yes. And my, you know, and my belief is that we have to be as generous as we can be at this time. Families are really struggling, and it is absolutely imperative that the Congress respond to those families now. We can figure out down the line how to pay it back, but for now, it's time for these families to ask their country what it can do for them. And if we do that, I think we'll come out to the right answer on all of these issues.
So to that point, there has been this issue of the minimum wage, which was a key element in the bill at the beginning. It did pass in the House version. The proposal had been $15 an hour, raising it nationally to $15 an hour. Clearly, it's been a sticking point. It appears to be off the table in the Senate. Is that true? Do you think there's any chance that the minimum wage hike survives in this bill as it passes, as you say, hopefully next week?
Well, my feeling is that our fight does not end with the parliamentarians ruling last week. If we cannot get this provision passed within this rescue package, we must do what it takes to deliver for the American people and ultimately abolish the filibuster to pass a $15 federal minimum wage. If the Republicans are going to stand in our way in providing for families the protection and the support which they need, then we just can't allow this filibuster, which is born of the anti-democratic, anti-majority, racist vestige of a Jim Crow era, to stand in the way. And by the way, I would say the same thing holds for voting rights. It holds for immigration reform. It holds for climate change response. On each and every one of those issues, if the Republicans are going to stand on this ability to not give the Democrats 60 votes to pass much needed legislation, then I just think it's time for us to abolish the minimum wage and to abolish the filibuster so that we can get a minimum wage.
I want to pull that apart a little bit. And first, just for our listeners' sake, when you say the parliamentarian, I assume you're referring to essentially a decision by the Senate parliamentarian last week that the reconciliation process didn't allow for consideration of the minimum wage. And so assuming that's what you meant, I want to go to this other part where you say you got to remove the filibuster to get there. Joe Manchin is a Democrat, has said he doesn't support the $15 minimum wage. So if there's not enough support in your own party, does that make the filibuster moot right now? Is there more work to be done inside the party first?
I think that ultimately it will be the cumulative impact of Republican obdurate opposition to anything being done on voting rights, on immigration, on gun safety legislation, on the minimum wage, on issue after issue that cannot be dealt with in a reconciliation package, which only requires 51 votes, that's going to create the atmospherics that ultimately will lead to the collapse of the filibuster as an ancient relic of a period gone by that now stands in the way of real progress. So
do you predict that happens in 2021? Do you predict that happens in 2021?
I do. I think that it's going to be quite clear that the Republican Party is going to revert to its gridlock strategy that it used in 1994 and in 2010 to derail the Clinton and Obama administrations. That will be adopted to derail a legislative agenda of the Biden administration on so many of the key issues that he campaigned on. So
you could imagine voters across the America, Senator Markey, hoping that at some point we get to a point where we have true bipartisan spirit in Congress again. And I get it, that that's been really falling apart for decades now. When the filibuster goes, obviously there's another piece of that that falls by the wayside. What is the path? Do you see a path for a future of bipartisanship that voters today could look forward to? Is that on the table?
Well, I think young people want bipartisanship. Young people want us to come together. And I think young people should lead us on climate change, on LGBTQ issues, on women's rights all the way down the line. But that's not the Republican Party of today. And we just have to be realistic about where we are today. And so from my perspective, we have to do big things. We just had an election that Joe Biden won by 7 million votes. And we just can't wait for the Republicans who bitterly oppose many of the things that he wants to see be placed upon the books to have been killed, to change the rules. So there's a great book out there, by the way, for your listeners to read. It's called Kill Switch, which is a book that just came out about a month ago about the whole history of the filibuster. It goes back to John C. Calhoun through Strom Thurmond and racist Southern senators who used it as a way to block the real change that we needed in racial issues, and has now extended over to environmental and economic justice issues as well. And I really recommend the book to them because they can see it was never built into the Constitution. The checks and balances in the Constitution go to creating a United States Senate for small states to be a check against big states, imposing their will on small states. The filibuster is not something that was ever contemplated by our founding fathers, for those Republicans who always say that they're the curators of that original document. And so it's just something that was developed as a way of stopping good things from happening in our country to help those who were not white property owners.
And right. so in our In our limited remaining time, I appreciate that. In our limiting remaining time, let's talk about another thing you want to see happen, which is you're co-sponsoring with our other Senator Elizabeth Warren the Ultra Millionaire Tax Act, which is a wealth tax that would introduce a 2% tax on wealth over $50 million, 3% on wealth over $1 billion. What's the path forward on that? Can you get that passed? Let's take the filibuster out of it, or maybe assume if you need to that the filibuster isn't there. Is that something that can get done in this legislative session?
I do believe that something is fundamentally happening in our country. 2 years ago, just about this month, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and I introduced the Green New Deal. And it was considered to be pie in the sky, absolutely crazy. What are you talking about? Now it's 2 years later, and Joe Biden has introduced a $2 trillion bill with 800 billion of it going to minority and frontline communities in a big green infrastructure bill. So we won that debate over whether or not we have to respond to the magnitude of our problems when it comes to climate change, and that environmental justice has to be at the heart of it. Well, I think the same thing is true here. I think that in the midst of this pandemic, American billionaires have seen their net worths grow by $4 trillion, while Americans have lost their jobs, their incomes, their livelihoods. And just in the past year, 8 million Americans have fallen into poverty, while the richest amongst us continue to profit. So something is fundamentally broken when the wealthiest in our country are increasing their worth by trillions, while working Americans are struggling to put food on the table and pay their rent and are falling further and further behind. So from my perspective, Senator Warren's proposal provides an opportunity for a fairer tax code, a fairer economy, a fairer future for families across our country. And it will put pressure on Washington to respond, to go to where the money is, as Willie Sutton used to say, and it's in the pockets of the wealthiest people in our society. And one way or the other, we have to extract more of it out of their pockets so that we can spend it on healthcare, on education, on climate solutions that match the challenge of today. Thank you.
I got to thank you there, or we're going to run out of show. That is Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey. So great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on again.
Hope to have you on again soon. I'm Tiziana Deering. Thanks for listening today. This has been Radio Boston.